Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm you have called me.
Amen, amen, amen. We bless the Lord, and we certainly give him praise for another day's journey. We exalt him in the earth. Truly the Lord is good, and his mercies endure to all generations. We are so grateful. It's because of his grace and his mercy, his goodness, his kindness, his loving compassion, that we are yet here. We are grateful for these things. We are grateful for how the Lord has blessed and made ways out of no ways, and we are certainly glad about it. We give him praise on tonight because, you know, what can I say? Had not it been for the Lord who is on my side, where would I be? You know, of course, we need to sit down sometime and take a look and just think back. Not think back so long, but just think about today, you know. Just think about what the Lord did for you on today. You know, every blessing, everything that he's done for you. Just think about it. You know, we can't make it on our own. We just simply don't have what it takes. You know, we simply don't have what it takes. You know, the dangers of this world, not only that, we are such a needy people. And we need for so many different things. But we bless the Lord that he made a way. He provides for us in spite of everything and how we failed him in so many different ways. You know, but God on my side. And if God be for me, who can be against me? I just thank God, church, for grace and mercy. I thank God for his mercy that are renewed every morning. I'm grateful that his mercies every morning are renewed for me, that mercy pleads on my behalf. You know, the fact that God allows grace and mercy to be sufficient for me. You know, mercy pleads on my behalf. The very things that I failed to do, the sins that I've committed, you know, mercy cries out, give him another chance. You know, give him another chance. So God gives us grace, you know, grace, you know, to make it in. I mean, he gives us grace and mercies. You know, the mercy that we have, we don't deserve. But God, church, you don't hear me. You know, sometimes we think that, you know, we deserve it. But because of his loving kindness, his compassions that fail not, you know, we have a loving God that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, yet without sins. And he tells us to come boldly to the throne of grace that we might attain mercy, to find grace to help in the time of need. Amen. And we are so grateful. I just lift my hands, I lift my heart desires, and I praise him with everything that's in me. I give him the thanks. I give him the praise. You know, I'm just so glad. You know, I'm just so glad. You know, we're here, and the fact that we're here says that we stand within so many different possibilities. You know, it's just a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. And we bless the Lord, church. We bless his holy and righteous name. We're still ministering. You know, we hadn't been here for a few weeks, but anyhow, we're here, still standing on God's word, preaching about the end time and the things that will shortly come to pass. The end time. We are living in the end time. These are dangerous times. Apostle Paul tells us that in latter days, perilous times shall come. And we are here. We're here in this time when we're going through perilous times. Men, lovers of self, proud boasters, unnatural affection. You know, these are the times that we're living in. The heart of man has grown cold, has almost come to a place where there is no compassion. The heart has become wax, cold, and indifferent. But we thank the Lord that we have a loving God with tender mercies, you know, pleading every day. Oh, God, we are so grateful. We bless your holy and righteous name, God. We're talking from the end time. You know, we're still in Matthew 28. This is our foundation. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. His disciples came to him and asked him for a sign of his coming and an end of the age. You know, this dispensation that we're living in. You know, this present age started at the end of Noah's flood when those eight souls stepped out of the ark. They stepped out on dry land. The beginning of this present age, this dispensation that we're living in. You know, this dispensation that we're living in is called grace. You know, the church was established in the day of Pentecost. You know, we're here in the church age dispensation, a dispensation that was established on the day of Pentecost, this present age, where we can be saved by grace through faith, not of works, if any man should boast. Simply God's grace. He simply wanted to save some alive. So, you know, God in his rich, who's rich in mercy, wherewith he first loved us. And, you know, of course, we know that he died for us. And he made a way. He opened up a door. You know, he opened up a door, the door of the sheepfold. You know, God loved us so much that he gave his own life, shed his own blood for the remissions of sin, paid a price on Calvary, and became the door that the sheep can enter in. No man come to the Father but by me. We thank God for being a way maker and a burden bearer in the name of Jesus Christ. Before we go any farther, we're going to go ahead and pray, and we're going to continue our teachings on the end time. You know, these are serious times that we're living in. Church, if any time that we should draw nearer to the Lord, it's not. The time is now. The time is now. Amen. Apostle Paul says, the time and season, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourself know perfect that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. He's coming quickly. Amen. And he said, I have my reward to pay every man according to his works shall be. The Lord is coming quickly. Paul said, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. So we thank God for his soon coming, the bride, coming back for his bride, coming back for his church, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. He's coming back for a ready people, a holy nation, that would shoot forth the praises of our God. We are so grateful. We are so grateful for his soon coming. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, we are grateful for this time that we've set aside to teach and to preach on the end time. We're grateful that you made an opportunity available so that we can cry loud and spare not and lift up our voice like a trumpet in Zion and declare to your people, Lord God, this right now urgency, this right now word to your people, Lord God. We just ask, Lord God, for hearts that are prepared to receive your word. We ask that there be someone, somewhere, at some place that would be obedient to the word. We ask that the heart be prepared, that the Holy Spirit would lead, guide, and prepare our hearts to receive your word. And then, Lord, let it fall on rich ground, on fertile ground, that the seed could grow and multiply and produce the abundant fruit and harvest, Lord God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we bind up the hands of Satan from the stealing or destroying any portion of this fruit. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father, we just ask for forgiveness of sin now. Wash us in your blood. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Give us of thy spirit, Lord God, afresh and anew. Give us fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost, the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the greatest teacher, Lord, the greatest teacher that is, the Holy Spirit. We ask him to lead us and guide us and teach us and bring all things back to our remembrance, Lord, the things that are necessary. Preaching engagement on tonight. We ask you to do it now and do it for your name's sake, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we take authority over every hindering spirit rendered helpless over these services. We say, bless us, Lord, and we shall be blessed. Keep us, God, and we shall be kept as our prayer. Say your word, God, with power and conviction. In the name of Jesus Christ, we give thy name praise and glory. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. We thank God. We thank God. And amen. Yes, Lord. Yes, to your will. Yes, to your way. Jesus went out of the temple. His disciples came to him privately, and they asked him a question. Give us a sign of your coming, Lord, and the end of the age. And Jesus went on to say, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name and shall say, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. This end time, first of all, there's going to be a deception. It's going to be a religious deception. In fact, there must be a great falling away first. Except there be a falling away, the Bible tells us that the end shall not come, and that man of sin be revealed. But many shall fall from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. The Bible let us know to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Try every spirit, by the word, to see if it's of God. You know, there's so many different kinds of doctrine, you know, doctrinal errors. You know, you have to be keen to the word. In other words, you have to have a working understanding of the word of God. You know, your building should be on solid ground, on a solid foundation, built on the apostles' doctrine. You know, so we study the word, you know, make full reproof of the word. Amen. Many shall be deceived. A religious deception. You'd be surprised at how many people don't know the word. You know, how many people are simply just walking in darkness, in blindness, being blinded by the truth, you know, by doctrinal errors and things that they believe is true. You know, you'd be surprised. You would be surprised. you know, the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. The Bible said, and all these things shall be added unto you. The kingdom, you know, being a kingdom citizen, name written in the Lamb's book of life, seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, citizenship, been moved to higher ground, to heavenly places, having a citizenship in heaven. You know, the church has a heavenly calling. You know, the church, the bride of Christ, they're going to be taken away. You know, at the beginning of the week, the rapture occurs, and the church will be removed from the world, from the earth. You know, they're going up to be judged. They will receive crowns, and they will receive garments. And they're going there for the crowning, the coordination of God, that they're going to be casting their crowns at his feet, and they're going there for the wedding feast. Amen? So we thank God for the bride of Christ, the church. He's married to the church. The church is his wife. You know, he's intimately involved with his church. You know, the Holy Spirit in us. You know, how more intimate can you be to have God in you? Amen? So he's very intimate with his church, his bride, his wife. Shed his blood. How much more intimate can you be if you're here with me, walking with me, consummating in me, talking in me, revealing yourself in me, having communication with me? You know, making yourself known to me. How much more intimate can you be? So he's very intimate with his church. He loves his church. He loves his bride. So we thank God. A husband ought to love the church, love his wife as Christ so loved the church and died for it. Married to the church, and we're grateful for it. Amen. We're grateful. There's a time called sorrow. You know, there's a time that is called sorrow, where there's wars and rumors of wars, famine, pestilence, you know, nation against nation. You know, the Bible called these things the beginning of sorrow. And we talked about the beginning of the week, where the Antichrist is revealed, the church has been raptured. Now the church has been raptured, the Antichrist can be revealed, the man of sin. The first seal, he comes with great diplomacy. Of course, the treaty is signed in the beginning of the week. The treaty is signed for 7 years, or, you know, the 7 years is the length of the tribulation. You know, to make peace in Israel. And in the middle of the week, the treaty is broken. We're talking about the abomination and desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet. Jesus said, when you see this, flee to Petra, the sown city that God has prepared. He said, flee from Jerusalem. And he prayed that their flight would not be in winter, or they would be with child, or on the Sabbath. Where we end up last week, we're going to pick up from there. We're talking about the middle of the week in verse 21. Matthew 24, verse 21, and verse 22. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except these days be shortened. There should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Amen. We thank God for the reading of the word. We bless him for the word. The middle of the week, the opening of the sixth seal. And when the sixth seal is open, we see great outpouring of the vial judgments, the trumpet judgments. And not only are we going to deal with, they're going to deal with the problems that come because of the one world order and the Antichrist and the war and the famine and, you know, the mark of the beast and all of these things that are going on in the world. Now we see the vial judgments being poured out. There are six vial judgments, and there are seven trumpet judgments. And then these judgments are going to be poured out upon the earth. The angels pour out these vial judgments. And then we see not only the tragedy and the, you know, the dealings of the Antichrist being rotten in the earth in the middle of the week, but we see the judgments of God being poured out. The great tribulation. Jesus said there will be great tribulation. Listen to it. For then shall be great tribulation, such as what was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no nor ever shall be. It's going to be a situation. We're going to go to Revelation and pick up Revelation chapter. We're going to Revelation chapter 6. Amen. Revelation chapter 6. We're going to verse 12 is where we're going to pick up our reading. 6 and verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell upon the earth, even as the fig tree cast her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind, and the heavens departed as a scroll when it rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their place, and the kings of the earth and great men and the rich men and the chief captain, and the mighty men, and every bondsman, and every free man, hide themselves in the den, and in the rock of the mountain, and said to the mountain and the rock, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. The great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Amen. We thank God for the reading of his word and the hearers of his word. The sixth seal, great tribulation, such as never been before, nor never shall be. Great tribulation. We're talking about the middle of the week under the sixth seal. There's only seven seals, okay? And the sixth seal is in the middle of the week. And in the middle of the week, not only do we see the problems that were occurring because of the Antichrist, now we see the judgments of God being poured out upon the earth. Amen? The earth is going to be moved out of its place, the mountain, and everything shifting back and forth. The sun refused to shine. the moon colored in blood, or the red moon. But anyhow, the concern is, you know, the devastation of all of this. You know, if we could imagine, I mean, we can't even imagine the devastation that's going to happen. And for the very elect's sake, God hastened the time so that, you know, because of the devastation of all of this, he hastened the time so that the flesh, for the very elect, would be saved. You know, it's going to be a great tribulation. You know, we talk about the kind of devastation, destruction, the violence, and the devastation of things going on, to the place where death is removed from the earth for 7 months, and men would walk around trying to die, hiding themselves in the mountains, and, you know, being stung by things that come out of a pit, you know, something that eats, you know, has the mouth and the face of a lion, that and a scorpion's tail, that is tormenting people, you know, for a period of time. I mean, devastation beyond our understanding. Now, could you think of the earth, the earthquake, and earth moving, shifting back and forth? I mean, devastation, great destruction, great violence of nature, you know, having nature acting out, you know, the earth acting out, crying out, wanting to be redeemed. This is a situation here, something that's beyond our comprehension, you know, to be here to experience this. You know, again, man's extremities has always been God's opportunity. And it seems like man is always trying to take things on himself, as opposed to bowing down and recognizing that there is a God. And there is a God. Even a fool would say in his heart that there's no God. But in spite of with everything going on, you still have some that would ball up their fists in the face of God and refuse to submit, refuse to bow down and worship him, and to call on and cry out to his name. Even with great devastation, such as the way it is at this time, you know, having to deal with war and famine, you know, man is always trying to see another way out, as opposed to looking at the way out that was already made, you know, as opposed to falling in love with the truth, so that they can be saved. They reject the truth to believe a lie and be damned. In fact, God said he would turn them over to this delusion. You know, send them a strong delusion that they be damned and lost. This judgment, although the world experiences, but it's truly a judgment that's poured out against Israel. This tribulation, 7 years, Jacob's troubles, you know, the 7 years of tribulation. You know, God is trying to bring his people to a place, like anything else, a God of a second chance, to get them to look up and call on the name of the Most High God. But even with all of this going on, you have those that would reject him, as opposed to leaning on him and embracing the love. You know, they reject the truth and reject the love and be damned. You know, let's look at this. Let's hear what the word has to say. Let's look at verse 12. Revelation chapter 6, verse 12, and I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there were great earthquakes, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. You know, this is, you know, to just experience that, to experience such a horrific situation, sun being blackened. You know what? Think about it. These are extraordinary things that are going on. You know, extraordinary things. You know, science and men have always tried to explain everything. But to have this happen, of course, you know, sometimes people are in such a great denial, such a great, you know, everything that's going on, in the midst of everything that's happening, and still not awoke. In other words, the Bible says, them that sleep, sleep in the night. And them that be drunken, be drunken in the night. But we are not children of the night. We are children of the day. You know, God has provided a way of escape through salvation in Jesus Christ. But for those that refuse to wake up, you know, sometimes people refuse the truth. You know, they always try to explain and explain away the Bible, explain away the truth, and so willing to believe a lie. Again, this great disaster going on, the earth is shaking and rocking and reeling back and forth. You know, at some point, people reach the end. And once they reach the end, I mean, we always, you know, a fool would say in his heart that there's no God. You know, all of this is to get Israel to call on their God and to, you know, to lift them up. I mean, all of this is for the purpose of getting man's attention, getting man to a place where he acknowledged God as God. Verse 13, and the stars of heaven fell from the earth, fell upon the earth. And even as the fig tree casts her untimely figs when she was shaken of a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it was rolled up together, and every mountain and islands were moved out of its place. Great. Good God, that must have been great devastation. Mountains being leveled, you know, that must have been great devastation. Great destruction. And again, except he hastened the time, the very elect, there would be no flesh saved. And the very elect, for the very elect saved, he hastened the time. A judgment that's poured out on Israel, the tribulation. God has sealed 144,000. They're sealed in their forehead. 12,000 from each of the tribes of Israel. 12,000. They're sealed. You know, under the sixth seal, after the middle of the week, they too are raptured. And then John saw a number that no man could number coming up out of the great tribulation that have given their lives for their testimony. And white robes were given unto them and said to them that they should rest yet for a little while, a little season, unto their fellow servants also, and their brethren, that they should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. The middle of the week, it's a and great tribulation, such as never was before. The judgments of God being poured out, the wrath of God being poured out upon the earth. It is beyond, way beyond human understanding, comprehension. You know, the earth, the hell releasing violence upon the earth and then being tormented, devastation, you know. I just thank God for grace and mercy. You know, I thank God that I was able to hear the voice of God. And when the voice called out to me, it wasn't necessarily the first time, but we had the ear to hear. After going through enough, going through situations, you know, finding myself in places where I shouldn't be, doing things that I shouldn't do, you know, I had an ear to hear and understand that, you know, this situation is beyond my control, and decided that it was time to, like anything else, lift up my hand and surrender and give my life, you know, call out and cry out to the Lord for help. You know, He's a very present help in the time of trouble. So God provided a way out, a way of escape. You know, God's desire that none would perish, that all would come into the knowledge of the truth, that none would be lost. You know, it grieves the heart of God to lose a soul. And every soul is precious in the eyes of God. God doesn't desire anybody to be lost. He's a God that wants to save everybody. But the sad thing about it is man loves sin, you know, the pleasures of the flesh for a season, more than what he loves God. What does he do? He rebels against the truth and refuses the truth, you know, turns his own ways and refuses to accept the will of God for his life. You know, God doesn't send anybody to hell. People choose to go there, you know, choose to go to hell by resisting the will of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. But Jesus bear witness that man loves darkness more than light, except they come to the light and their deeds be revealed. So, people love sin for a season, pleasures of sin, pleasures of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. But God is constantly calling out, even in this place. The church is already raptured, a heavenly group. Now he's dealing with Israel and those that are left here on the earth, a second chance. A God of a second chance, opening up a door, you know, a door so that they can be saved. Amen? People have tried all kinds of stuff. I've tried all kinds of stuff. So at some point, we should try Jesus. You know, try Jesus. You know, try him. You know, a way maker, a burden bearer. Try Jesus, a bridge over troubled water, shelter in the time of the storm, a shield and a buckler, my sword. Try Jesus. Amen. The middle of the week, church. Great devastation. Great devastation. Verse 15. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, the rich men, and the chief captain, and the mighty men, and every bondsman, and every free man, hide themselves in the den and in the rock of the mountain, and said to the mountain and rock, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? There's no hiding place. There's no hiding place. Who can stand? Only the righteous shall see God. Only the righteous. Who can stand? So we thank God that he provided a way of escape. Amen. Man's extremities has always been God's opportunity. God has always had to put some of us in a place where he can talk to us, you know, so that he can have that conversation, so that we can see the hands of God moving and know that it's God and nothing and nobody else. Because only God can do these things. So he sits down and he has a talk with us. You know, there's some things people can fake out, but there are things, people of God, that has to be right, has to be truthful and honest. So God puts us in a place where there's no question as to what and how, and he talks to us. He presents our case, and we were able to come to a conclusion, the whole matter. The whole conclusion of the matter is to fear God and keep his commandments. Amen. You say, well, how can God do these things? It's happened before, people of God. It's happened before. And it will happen again. So we have to recognize who we're dealing with. It's happened before. We get bits and pieces. We get previews. We get, you know, God gives us segments. Things that happen in time, you know, we look at it and we say, it's just something that the devil is doing. The devil is doing this and that. And we see great devastation. We see people, you know, we just think that everything is my chance, happenstance. No, there's always purpose in the things that God do. You know, whether or not we understand or whether or not we pay attention, but there's always purpose in what's going on. Some of us refuse to read the handwritings on the wall. We refuse the truth. We just think that is life as usual. And in this end time, time is very short. These are praying times. These are serious times. You know, we are people that, you know, if the rapture, the rapture could occur today or tomorrow, right now as I'm talking. And if it does, then the people that are here on the earth are going to experience these things. You know, let us not make fun or make, don't take these things serious. Amen? This judgment, although it's a judgment because Israel, the Jews refused Jesus Christ as Messiah. The stone that the builders rejected became the chief cornerstone. You know, when they rejected Jesus, then God had another thought in mind. He opened up a door for the Gentiles. The church is made out of Jews as well as Gentiles. He opened up a door so that, and he made the invitation. The invitation went out to the Jews first, and there were so many excuses that God told his servant to go out into the hedges and the highways and the byways and bring them in. You know, bring them in. You know, he told them to, there was room at the supper feast. So he compelled them to bring them in. Bring in your wounded. You're blind, you're halted, you're broken. Bring them in, for there's room at the table. We were invited to come in. We thank God for the invitation. We thank God that we had a heart to receive it. Amen? You know, we accept the invitation. Our soul cried, yes, Lord, yes to the Lord. We yielded our members. And we thank God for the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of truth that revealed himself, that made himself known. You know, it's a wonderful thing to have a talk with Jesus. You know, talk with him. You know, it's a wonderful thing. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Intimacy, an intimate God who's there to help you. Who will help you? Who can I lean on? Who can I trust when I tell all my secrets? Some people you talk to, they'll tell everything that they know about you, make you look like a fool. But Jesus knows all about it, and he won't tell anybody. So we thank God that he's compassionate, that he can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Everything is naked and open in the eyes of him of whom we have to do. Everything. So we thank God. He's calling out at this hour. At this hour, he's calling out. It's going to be a great shifting. A great shifting. It's going to be a great revival. It's amazing what hard times trouble does to people. It's amazing what it does. You know. So we thank God. We thank God. You know, he's awesome in wonders and his wonders to perform. He's wise, the all-wise God. Who sits on the circle of the earth, who knows all things, who knows and sees everything, hears everything, knows the desires of our heart. Amen? So we thank God for Jesus. We thank God for him. We are so much into his debt. We own everything. We're going to stop here on tonight. We hope that something that we said about this end time will, of course, like anything else, you know, will awaken you, will sharpen you and quicken you. You know, something that will increase your interest and your knowledge to make you draw closer. To want to have a closer walk with God. To want you to spend more time in prayer and supplication and in the Word studying to show yourself approved. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, brothers and sisters, but rightly dividing the Word of truth. So we bless the Lord for our service on tonight. We bless the Lord for the Holy Spirit. And we tell him thank you. If there be no questions or hearts and minds,